Matthew chapter 1. And a very unusual topic I want to take. It's a very short, it's an exhortation. Just to call somebody's attention to something here. Verse 23. Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. May the Lord add blessing to the reading of his word. Be seated. And looking at a very short exhortation, I title Emmanuel. 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 And the purpose of this exhortation is to call somebody's attention here to something very important, because God is going to begin to position his people now for the next move. For the next move. It's Brother Ernest here. You shared a testimony with me, a dream, a revelation. I don't know, there's a vision you had yesterday here with me. Brother Ernest here. Can you stand up wherever you are if you're here today? Is he here? Come forward, please. That's him there. Quickly, quickly, please. Hallelujah. And the bride of Jesus Christ is about to be manifested. I'm telling you, that is the truth.
That was last week, Wednesday. I was in a revelation and I found myself in pastor's office. Suddenly a man was sitting there with him. So when I came in, when I looked at the man's hand, the hand, you can see it full, but inside, as if I was looking at x-ray. Then you can see that the hand is short inside. But physically, the hand is normal, but inside is short. So when I looked at it, I shouted. Immediately, pastor responded and said, he started laughing and said, don't you see it's a witchcraft hand? And from the way he made that statement, it's certainly that he knows about that person. He knows that thing, but pretended not to, as if he's not aware about it. So as we were discussing, suddenly a giant came in. When the giant came in, I didn't see the face, but from the knee down, he was putting on an army camouflage with the army boot. Then the next thing I heard him, he called him Moses. You know, we are starting building the wall of Jerusalem. And immediately, pastor walked towards like this and went to him, and they started discussing, and the thing went off my eye. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. God bless you. Yes. When he said that it is time to build the walls of Jerusalem, let us go and build. Church, listen. He was sharing this with me yesterday when we came for the women program here. And what came to my mind is, we have no part in the building of the physical Jerusalem. Hallelujah. But there is a spiritual Jerusalem. The Bible calls it the new Jerusalem. It's a city from heaven. And that is the bride of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And when such revelations begin to come, people who are spiritual, you begin, you know, it gives you cause for concern. As a prayer, I've been praying, Lord, I didn't know anything about Christ Jesus. My parents were not in that line. But I did not go to the mountain and say, I want to know Jesus. I want to know Jesus. You came in your infinite mercy and you revealed Jesus Christ to me. And when I accepted him, you saw the sincerity that I meant it. Because there are people that give their lives to Christ not because they have caught a revelation of who he is in the right direction. Because there are different angles to Jesus Christ. Depending on which angle is revealed to you by God. There are so many people that Jesus Christ, all you know about him is that he's a miracle worker. That's all. He's a healer. That's all. So anytime you are sick, that is when you remember Jesus. He who was poor, who was rich in all things, became poor so that through his poverty, we might become rich. Therefore, all you know Jesus Christ is a prosperity God. So why are you serving him? So that I can make money. That's why I don't play with my tithe. That's why I am in that one particular church. Because there, the prosperity that they preach. You see? And so many other people see Jesus Christ as the mighty one in battle. Because I asked a sister sharing with me about the church she visited somewhere, a satellite town. He said, thousands of people gathered there. And I asked, what is the attraction there? And she was sharing with me, the attraction there is, he said, that man is anointed. Like if any witch is disturbing you, you want him to die. Get work where he go do it for you like this. The witch go die. I say, and then they die. He say, then they die. Oh. So, that is why, if you want your enemies to die, that is where you will be. So, you see him as just protection from the enemies. But, while there are all angles to Jesus Christ, listen, church, there is the main angle. That not too many people have caught it. The angle that affects your soul and your eternal destination. Not too many people catch it. And it depends on which angle you see Jesus. It determines how you will serve him. That question remains relevant every day. Who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? That is, which angle you they look at me? That's what it means. I should look at him every day. Which side? It determines how you worship him, how you serve him. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. When we are worshiping here, and I turned and I looked at my brother, Ugochukwu, you did not sleep last night. For the past 1 week, you've not been able to sleep because your son has been sick and, you know, troubled the whole family. But here you are. You were dancing more than everybody else on this line. I took notice of that. I said, despite all he's been going through, he's still dancing. Now, you know that person has, his faith has gone beyond whether God healed my son or not. Why? There is some other angle of Jesus Christ he knows. You see, now, the reason I give all this example is because very soon, God will move. See, I told God, I didn't know about all this. You reveal yourself to me and you saw me that I will worship you sincerely. Now, remember, I say sincere. Sincerity here is not talking about perfection. Okay? David was a man after God's own heart. Was David perfect? No. You see? So when God looks at you, he's looking at your heart. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. So while I'm looking at the way you are dancing and worshiping God and serving God in the church, God is looking beyond that to your heart. So I told God, you see my heart, that you reveal Jesus to me, I'll follow him. And then again, he saw that and made sure I was not part of the confusion that is going on in Christianity called denominationalism. To take me out of that confusion, in his infinite mercy and grace, he again revealed the entire message that he sent through that man, William Mary Abraham. That other people's eyes have been blinded into, but he revealed it to me. I know it is not only my testimony. I know it's a testimony of so many people. I know it's your testimony. I'm using myself as an example. Praise the Lord. And I told God, you who reveal Jesus Christ to me, and reveal your plan of redemption in Christ, and showed me your divine timetable where you are now, and made me to hear the shout. The next stage, Lord, don't let me miss it. That's the prayer I pray every time. And that next stage is about to take place. I'm telling you, that is the truth. Not many of us here will die of old age before the rapture will strike. Not many of us sitting down here this morning will die of old age before the rapture will strike. And before the rapture will strike, there are activities that will begin to take place. Now, today, I titled this exhortation, Emmanuel. Emmanuel means God with us. God with us. Let's understand how God works. Genesis chapter 1. Let's read these two verses. Then we read Genesis chapter 11 again and see the same pattern there. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 is a very popular scripture. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want you to note that these messages we preach here, we preach them by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. By the inspiration of the Holy Ghost, we preach them. And my wife was calling my attention to something. She was comparing the messages I preach with those she has had opportunity to hear from so many other inter-message preachers. He said, many of them are just copycats. They pick a message from a preacher and present it. They don't go anything beyond what that preacher has spoken anywhere, because they have respect for that preacher. And they said the reason is because there is no connection between the preacher and God. And she made mention of something, because inter-message preachers will be hearing this tape one day somehow, somewhere. Some of them smuggle and buy our tapes here. They will hear it. Let me tell you, I'm telling you, the statement my wife made yesterday struck me. He said, a man that is full of bitterness cannot receive from God. That statement hit me like a blow, to let me know that yes, it's true. I've never given that consideration. Before you can have fellowship with God and he can come and begin to minister to you his plan for redemption and give you understanding of the Bible known as inspiration, you can't have a heart that is full of bitterness, rancor, hatred, and expect God to come and minister to you. No, because devil has already taken over. Two spirits cannot be in you at the same time. The spirit ministering bitterness and rancor and everything else. Hallelujah. Once he has taken over, the Holy Ghost will stay aside unless that spirit leaves before he will come. Amen. In the entire message, bitterness, 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 especially one latest group that has sprung up, anointed by the devil, nothing more, to cause confusion in the entire message among the bride. And all they do is bitterness. No one singling single Christian virtue around any of them I have met. I say, any of them. They are in Lagos here. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Nothing. How can they receive from God? Because you don't believe what I believe. He said, don't talk to me. Don't come to me. A brother from this place called somebody else. He said, ah, brother, how are you? It's a long time. I said, no, you're not my brother. He said, why? And I said, we don't believe the same thing. What is it you believe that I don't believe? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I said, let me find trouble. One of the leaders in that group, I sent a text to him. January, early January, I texted to him. They hate to hear my name. In fact, if you mention my name, in that church, somebody went to their pulpit. I was finishing Brother Moses Alu. And a sister, a spiritual sister in that church, was saying, hey, so that man is so bad. Oh, I used to know him. When has he become so bad? Father, restore him. Father, restore him. Father, restore him. And an usher had the sister praying for me. I went behind and told the pastor in his office. When the pastor came to the altar, I was fuming. You stand up. I heard you were interceding for Brother Moses here. If you want to intercede for him, go to his church. It's not here you intercede. Get up and excommunicate her from the church. And he's the one that is bringing this confusion. He's the one saying he is the leader apostle. Leading people to where I don't know. Now, I'm saying this, praise the Lord, that my heart is clear. Because I want to go to heaven. So I read scriptures that will help me to go to heaven. So he speaks to me, church. What I'm speaking is by the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He causes me to understand something that I come to share with you. Take it seriously. Emmanuel. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 1. Verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our. Somebody shout our. Say it again, our. Thank you. That's my emphasis. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created him them. Now see what I want to bring out here. Verse 26. The first statement says, and God said, let us make man in our image. And verse 27 says, so God created man in his own image. But he said, let us. In verse 26, verse 27, he said, so God created. He created. But after telling us to create. Genesis chapter 11. Go to chapter 11 again. Just the same setting there. Verse 7 and verse 8. Concerning the Tower of Babel. Go to. Let us go down. And there confound their language. that they may not understand one another's speech. Verse 8. So the Lord scattered them abroad from thence upon the face of all the earth, and they left off to build the city. See what I'm saying? Verse 7 says, let us go down. And verse 8, so the Lord scattered them. Let us. So the Lord scattered them. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God, as I study the scriptures and see the move of God, I discover that as far as man is concerned and this earth is concerned, before God will do anything at all, he needs a human being to walk with. Satan too, before he can succeed in doing anything at all on earth here, he needs a human being to walk with. See, let us make man. I bet it was God that did it. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. Amos chapter 3 verse 7. He says, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servants, the prophets. Why does he do that? Because before he moves, if it is judgmental move, he will first reveal it to the prophet so that the prophet can warn the people. Because before God will strike, he's always warning. But whom he uses to warn, he will use is a prophet. He will use a man. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why he raised prophets in Israel. And that's why he's still raising prophets in his church. That's why he gave us a prophet in this age. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Because judgment is coming. Before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, I will send Elijah the prophet. Judgment is coming upon this world. And he sent Elijah to warn the Gentiles that judgment is coming. All will be there. Each one receiving justly his due, because every one of us will stand before God in judgment. And the thing there is to warn you. The same thing, the whole world was to perish with water. He told Noah to go and warn the people. That is how he works. He will not do anything unless he has revealed it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. The second reason why he reveals it is for intercession. It's for intercession. For that evil to stop. Because God works in a mysterious way. Nobody can teach God wisdom. Can anybody teach him wisdom? His second name is wisdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if God, his second name is wisdom, have you ever pondered over this scripture? Israel committed an offense. And God was angry. Decided that he would destroy all of them. Then he came to Moses. Moses! These are people, they are stiff-necked. I'm fed up, I'm tired with them. I'm going to wipe them up and raise you again to start another generation. And Moses now began to talk. Ah, God, why will you do like that? What will people say? You know it's in the Bible. Some people, they look me, one sister, they look me like, say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Exodus chapter 32. There was a story there. Verse 7. And the Lord said unto Moses, go, get thee down, for thy people which thou broughtest out of the land of Egypt have corrupted themselves. They have turned aside quickly out of the way which I commanded them. They have made them a molten calf and have worshipped it and have crucified thereunto and said, this be thy gods, O Israel, which have brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And God said unto Moses, I have seen these people, and behold, it is a stiff-necked people. Now, therefore, let me alone. God is telling a man, Moses, that my wrath may wax hot against them, and that I may consume them, and I will make of thee a great nation. That's God talking to a man. Verse 11. And Moses besought the Lord his God and said, Lord, why does thy wrath wax hot against thy people, which thou hast brought forth out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand? Wherefore should the Egyptians speak and say, for mischief did he bring them out to slay them in the mountains and to consume them from the face of the earth? Turn from thy fierce anger and repent of this evil against thy people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, thy servants, to whom thou swearest by thine own self, and said unto them, I will multiply your seed as the stars of heaven, and all this land that I have spoken of will I give unto your seed, and they shall inherit it forever. And the Lord repented of the evil which he thought to do unto his people. A discussion before the Almighty God and a man. Praise the Lord. The Bible says God does not take counsel from anybody, because there is none higher than him. So if he's going to take counsel, he takes counsel with himself. But how he takes counsel with himself, not many of us know it. That is the spirit of intercession. Church, listen. When anointing comes upon you, a body comes upon you, when you see somebody is about to face a judgment from God, and you begin to cry, and you begin to pray, and you begin to intercede and give God every reason not to do it, it's not you doing it. It's the same Spirit of God coming upon you to talk to God, to cause him to change his mind. Oh, hallelujah. It was the Spirit of God that came on Moses and began to talk to him. It was not Moses speaking. And God repented. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. He was going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Why didn't he go straight? He will not do anything except he reveal it to his servants. On his way going, therefore, to fulfill a principle, he branched to see his friend Abraham. Why? He went so that Abraham will cause him to save some people. It was the Spirit of God in Abraham. See, Romans chapter 8. Open it. See. Who has seen it? Jump up and read it. If I see it before you, I will read. Read verse 26. So many people don't understand that scripture.
Praise the Lord.
Verse 26.
Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity.
The Spirit. Which Spirit?
The Spirit of God.
Which Spirit?
Holy Spirit.
The Spirit of God helpeth our infirmities.
For we know not what we should pray for as we ought.
We don't know what we should pray for as we ought to know.
But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us.
It is the Spirit that will come and make intercession for us. How?
With groanings which cannot be uttered.
With groanings. Sometimes a problem comes upon you until you don't know how to pray. But God's mercy, he wants to intervene. His Spirit of intercession now will come upon you. It is God coming upon you to make God to do something for your benefit. And so many people experience that. Praise the Lord. Somebody shout Emmanuel. Somebody shout Emmanuel. I'm not talking about the kind of Emmanuel they call at Ikotu. I'm talking about Emmanuel by revelation, deeper revelation. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That's why the Bible says, God look for a man that will stand in the gap. And he's still looking for that man. And may you be that man in the name of Jesus Christ. To redeem man, he needed a man. Even when there was no man qualified for that job, he bypassed the laws and created a man for that purpose, because he needs man to fulfill that purpose. Through that virgin birth, he produced for himself a man that he can depend on. Hallelujah. He created the earth, and he still left man to take care of the earth. Replenish, multiply, and replenish and subdue the earth. Gave you authority until he gave Adam to name all the animals, even all the trees, everything. It was not God that named them. We are the ones that named them. Oh, blessed be the name of the Lord. It was Adam. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Even when he decided to wipe the whole world, he still knew that he would still need a man. That's why he reserved Noah. And continued in verse 1 of Genesis chapter 9. The same commandment he gave Adam. Multiply and replenish. God is full of attributes. God, in him are attributes. And the only way he can express those attributes, he need man. A lot of us don't understand this God we are serving. He needs man. Hallelujah. God is God. I say he has attributes. 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 You know what is attribute? Eh? What you call potentialities. He has a potential or the abilities, the nature, and he needs to express them. You see, when I turn and I look at a man, you turn and you look at me here, you will not know what virtues I have, the nature I have. All you will know me is, you know me to be a man. Hallelujah. But if you cannot, if you know me, who am I? I am Moses Alu. You know, if you just say, I am Moses Alu, do you know me? Do you know me? Eh? No, you are looking at a photo. Looking at me, Moses Alu, is the same way as looking at a picture. But to know me is to be able to say something about who I am, and you can only know me if I express it. If I express it. You cannot know I am a thief until I display until something miss. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Now it's true. Now you will not know I am a fornicator until, you know, again, until you catch me even red-handed. Amen. You won't know I'm a liar until I begin to, you know, demonstrate. Amen. You won't know I can kill until you vex me. You won't know that I am a troublesome person. You have not heard somebody say, you are looking for my trouble. Because he knows he has trouble. But you know, you want to know who I am. I will show you I am from where?
Welcome to the Bright Voice.
My Father and my God, you own my
my last breath. You have the final say over my life. That's why I must worship you, Papa. I must worship you because before the foundation of the world, you put my name in the book of life. I must worship you for the sacrifice you offered for me, Lord. To worship you. So God too has attributes. And that is one of the things that confuse theologians and educated people. Why will God, who knows tomorrow from today, who knows 1 million years from today, create an animal that will disturb his program? You know, that's where they get confused. Hallelujah. No, was it by accident that the serpent disturbed that program? And do you think before God the program was disturbed? No. Eh? When the brothers of Jacob were selling him to those Ishmaelites, were they disturbing the dream of Jacob? Joseph? Were they destroying the dream of Joseph? They were fulfilling the dream. But when the fulfillment is going on, carnal people cannot understand. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Anybody that God will use in a mighty way, you must, in the area he's going to use you, he will train you in that area. But when the training is going on, you will not know that it is training. You will be crying, thinking you will die. You will not die. It's a training. Eh? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. For instance, let me tell you. Anybody that God is going to use to raise the dead back to life. Eh? Hallelujah. See, that's something a lot of people don't understand about ministry. Before God can use you to the realm, the anointing to raise the dead does not just come anyhow in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. No. That person will have undergone an experience that he lost a loved one in a horrible condition that destabilized his life. Now he understands the relations of that dead man. The relations are crying. He knows that this is the breadwinner. He knows that they will suffer. He remember how he himself suffered, how he went through. That feeling comes upon him. If he goes and prays, something will happen. Before God can use you in the area of healing, I don't mean headache, malaria, typhoid. I mean healing. In a realm. Before God can do that, he has already allowed you to undergo pains. That when you see somebody sick, you will remember how you went through your own. Ah, I know what you feel, brother, in Jesus' name. That sickness will go. The word compassion is acquired. Compassion is not just grace that come upon you. It is acquired. It's an experience that brings the spirit of compassion inside of you. When a man, God is going to use you to raise up men again that their lives have been scattered, he will allow you to prosper, then suddenly cut you off. Then you will suffer. You too. Then when you come back and you stand again, in the ministry, when somebody comes, say, brother, see who I was before and see who I am now. You will understand. In that estate, you will feel what he's feeling. When you see a man crying, if you have not understood that before, if you have not undergone that, a man is crying, say, brother, you're a man, now why did they cry? And they cry like that. Another problem for people when they cry, oh. Go. It's because you don't have faith. You don't have faith. You don't have faith, have you? And they die, you go inside, don't get faith. Praise the Lord. I was watching a television ministry and I heard Oyakhilome saying that he has never been poor in his life. Amen. I say, poor people cannot go near this man. Because when you come near him, he cannot see how you have become poor. He will tell you you have no faith. As if it is because he has faith, that's why he was not poor. Praise God. I read a scripture during the vigil. Read it again for me, Ecclesiastes chapter 9.
I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not of the swift.
The race is not because you can. You're faster than an eagle.
Nor the battle to the strong.
You go and fight battle and win because you think you are strong.
Neither yet the bread to the wise.
You think that you have food abundantly because you think you are wise.
Nor yet the riches to the man of understanding.
Nor
yet favor to the man of skills. But time and chance is happening to them.
What is the reason?
Chance.
It's time and chance.
Happening to them all.
Time and chance. You are where you are today. Check very well. It's not because you are smarter than everybody. Time and chance. Time and chance. Catch that. So that you understand. But my emphasis today is knowing God as a God that has attributes. He knew. You have to start thinking from there. That he knew that if he created that animal. Amen. The question you ask is, then why did he still punish him? He knew that Judas would betray Jesus Christ. And yet, he still took him there to destroy Jesus. Then after again, he destroyed him. The mystery is deep. It's very deep. Amen. But he created all things and for his pleasure. He has a purpose. You are created to fulfill God's purpose. His purpose is expressed in his attributes. In him is the attribute of a savior. God is a savior. But how can you look at somebody and say, you are a fornicator? You are an adulterer. The Bible says, you can't even count in the Old Testament. You are guilty of adultery. Only there are two or three witnesses. They caught you, crow, they saw it. You cannot look at a man and say you are an adulterer. You can't look at God and say he's a savior. So, to demonstrate that attribute of his, he decided to allow his own creation, his son, Adam and Eve, to be lost. So lost, he allowed. He didn't arrange it. Church, he did not arrange it. But because he had the power to stop it, and he didn't stop it, that's why we say he allowed. He has power to stop any frustration coming your way. If the frustration still gets at you, the arrow of the enemy still hit you, that sickness still caught you despite that you stayed in the mountain for the past 1 month. Your eye has not beheld any evil. Your mouth has not spoken God. You have been living a life clean, praying 12 hours of the day. You were in fact, you tied the cross for your back. Yet, it came to you. It is the same reason why he also allowed it to come to Job. You see, he allowed it for a purpose. He's aware of it. It is to allow him sometimes to show you who he is. Amen. God wants to show you who He is. That's why Christians don't face frustration. He says, if I give Him my life, He will take care of me. He will never, never let me down. We are sure, but I know whom I believe it, and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Bah! You get accident, break your leg. Can you still sing? But I know. Many of us will say, why? Why, Lord, why? A Christian has no reason. Why? To ask God, why? No. He created you for a purpose. A man was born blind. They asked Jesus, is it the sin of his father or his mother? Amen. He said, neither his own sin, nor the sin of his father or mother. Hallelujah. But that the name of the Lord will be glorified. Just imagine that. So that he can let the whole world know that there is a God that can restore sight. That's all, Lord. That's all. That's all. He wanted to show the whole world that there is a God in heaven that can do things and marvel man. He chose a man, Pharaoh. He said it. For this purpose have I raised Pharaoh. To show the whole world that there is a God somewhere. Left to Pharaoh. Pharaoh will let them go after one sign. But when he said go, in the morning again, God will go back to Pharaoh to harden him. No, you are not going. It was God that was hardening him. And yet, after that, he destroyed him again. But you were the one, the man will have let the people go. Now you go make and say, make you not let them go. For his purpose. For his purpose. So that even when the last one say, oh yeah, go. So that they can know. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Oh, the God you are serving, have you known him? You don't know him, that's why you act anyhow around him. I was talking to a brother last week. I say, I look at you. I say, you have no tingly fear of God. I say, I am only withholding myself from calling you a serpent seed. I said, because all the characteristics of a serpent seed is in you, and yet you go to church. No single fear of God. The only reason is because you don't know him. There are some people on earth here that he has reserved as fuel in hellfire. He called them vessel of honor. And vessel of dishonor. And he's the one that put all of them there. Would you be afraid and say, which one I be? Which one am I? Hallelujah. God in him is a savior. So he will allow his precious seed to be lost. So that you will need him. He can now come and save you. In him, he is a healer. So he can allow that sickness to come upon you. He sent forth his word. And his word healed them. He is a healer. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He is a warrior. And to demonstrate that he is a warrior, they left Egypt for the promised land. There is shortcut. See where he will follow. He decided to follow another route. That he'll be looking for trouble in those nations on the road. He reached here, the Amalekites, they say, Lila, you no go pass. Then he go say, you must pass. So that he can show them that he can fight battle. These are people in the wilderness. No weapon. No trained army. They were slaves all through in Egypt. Nothing. But then, to let them know that the battle belonged to the Lord and not you. Just to let everybody know is the mighty one in battle. Praise the Lord. He's a redeemer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So he has to fulfill the law of redemption. Nothing more than that. He's a miracle worker. He's omnipotent. He's omniscient. Hallelujah. He is omniscient, omnipresent. And so he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there. He's here now. In all other churches, he's there too now. To let you know that he knows everything. But not too many people understand him to be an omnipresent God or omniscient God. And so they have something they call secret sin. You commit secret sin because you don't believe that he's an omniscient God. That he knows all things, he sees all things, aware of everything. Plus, that room that you lock it against man. But there is an unseen eye watching you. Omniscient God. If you know that, there is nothing like secret sin before a Christian. Fear him. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I and my children, which the Lord has given me, they are for what? Signs and wonders. Emmanuel means God with us. God has raised you up, and he called a group the bride. Of all the children on earth, all the human beings on earth, he decided to choose Abraham to express himself, to fulfill his purpose on earth here. He said, of all the families of the earth, it is only Abraham, Israel, that he has chosen as his own. What for? They are for signs and wonders. Because God is looking for somebody to express himself. That's the reason he has saved you and I. That is the meaning of Emmanuel. Don't think that Emmanuel ended with Jesus. No! Jesus is the beginning of Emmanuel in another realm. Every one of us here, born again, you are another Emmanuel. That is the reason he gave you the Holy Ghost. Because God cannot do anything alone. Okay, open Jeremiah chapter 51. From verse 20. Are we there? This is thus said the Lord to somebody here now. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee, somebody shout with thee. No, that's my emphasis. He's not doing it alone. Who is he doing it with? With thee. Somebody say with me. You are that thee there. D, not be person name. D, now you. Born again, filled with God. Let me read it again. Thou art my battle axe and weapons of war. For with thee will I break in pieces the nations. And with thee will I destroy kingdoms. And with thee will I break in pieces the horse and his rider. And with thee will I break in pieces the chariot and his rider. With thee also will I break in pieces man and woman. And with thee will I break in pieces old and young. And with thee will I break in pieces the young man and the maid. I will also break in pieces with thee the shepherd and his flock. And with thee will I break in pieces the husbandman and his yoke of oxen. And with thee will I break in pieces captains and rulers. And I will render unto Babylon and to all the inhabitants of Chaldea all their evil that they have done in Zion in your sight, said the Lord.
the Lord. My emphasis there that he will do all this one, but he cannot do it alone. He will do it with thee. But also, it is twofold. John chapter 15. Just as God will do nothing except he finds a man he can use. He found that man born of that virgin birth. He became Emmanuel. So also we too, we can do nothing. Chapter 15. Are we there? John chapter 15, because we need to catch something here. Hallelujah. Verse 4. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine. Ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. The next statement, everybody, shall we go? For without me, ye can do nothing. That's my emphasis. Anybody sitting down here, without God, you can do nothing. If you are going to succeed, do anything at all, you need him. And he's available now, Emmanuel. That is why with God, nothing is impossible. What did he say? With God. The emphasis is with God. Eh? The emphasis is that word, with. But without God, nothing is possible. Because there are people that tend to live their lives on earth as if they own the circumstances around them. The forces fighting us, they are too many. Stronger than any human being. More experienced in tactics than anybody. The time has come where you must realize that. See, the only thing that is withholding the full manifestation of evil on earth is because the Holy Ghost is still on earth. That is what Apostle Paul said in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. That's the only reason. When the Holy Ghost is removed, church, listen, once he's finally withdrawn, Satan takes a hold of the earth in full control, nothing restraining him anymore. Then you will know the meaning, the full dictionary meaning of evil. And the grace of God is withdrawing small, small. And you are seeing the evil everywhere. See proliferation of arms everywhere. We in Nigeria here, we are sitting on a time bomb. There are more arms in circulation among the populace than the arms that are in the armory of the security forces. In Nigeria. I saw a photograph of area boys in Lagos that were walking in the street with guns. Where did they get them from? Satan is setting the stage ready. Once the Holy Ghost is finally withdrawn, there will be a state of lawlessness. Is that the kind of world you want to belong to? You see? People are just living the world and things are happening instead of believers to begin to study. You know, he has done it in such a way that, 3/4 of our youth, especially,
They don't listen to news. It's film, video, or football. And somebody was writing somewhere the history of football. How football started. They say football started in those olden days when two factions war. When you overcome the other side, you cut their heads, and then they score. The enemy will be kicking it to one another, kicking it to one another. Kick somebody's head, you kick somebody's head. And I was saying, that is the only answer to hooliganism in football. Do you notice that the spirit of football, the fans, football, is a murderous spirit? I win, you lost. Nalai, you win. Handball, Nalai. Nobody they play, then they play for them. Nalai, Nalai, ba, Nalai, Namazai, ba. Before you know what, they don't keep. And those are the things. I was watching one woman from South Africa that has a ministry of social deliverance, and she made an altar call for hip hop, those who are possessed with hip hop spirit, and young men and women, they came out and they were asking. He said there is a terminology in the hip hop known as KOD, and they said that goes with KOD. What is KOD? Kingdom of Darkness. And then and they are playing it, and then they are dancing it, and then they say, come and demonstrate it. And then they were doing something. Kingdom of Darkness. That is what, see how they, you know, how they are arming the youth, turning them to renegades. And people don't know that it is Satan. It is Satan, church. It is Satan. But God is still God. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Without Him, you can do nothing. Let somebody have this, sing this. How many, who is bold enough to tell your neighbor here, without God, you can do nothing? Tell him again. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's how God has designed it. Even as He cannot do anything without us, He made sure too we cannot do anything without Him. Oh yes, He told Adam, multiply and replenish. But He knew that without Eve, Adam cannot multiply and replenish. Hallelujah. When the Bible uses certain terminologies to enable you understand, when He say, ye are the body of Jesus Christ. He said, you are the body of Jesus Christ. And we know that the body of a human being is divided into two sections, the head and the body. If we are the body, where is the head? Another scripture, He said, Christ is the head. So when you say the church of Jesus Christ, the church of Jesus Christ is not complete without the head. And that is why the body is here still in the estate that we are in. The building is still going on. When the head finally come and join, the body becomes complete and we go home and be with Him forever. Hallelujah. You see why it means so much for Him to have a perfect body? He has to get a perfect body. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He's the head, we are the body. We are as important as the head. The head cannot function without the body, and the body cannot function without the head. Emmanuel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The first Emmanuel we have is the Lord Jesus Christ. And He is the pattern for every one of us. Christ is the pattern. No other man is Christ. That's why he said, I am the way. He started with the way. Every child of God, anything short of who Jesus Christ was, you cannot make it, because that is the image every one of us must aspire to be. And one way to know, amen, catch it, one identification of Jesus Christ is that he was submissive. He was a submissive child of God. Total obedience. Remember, he had his own will. The Father had his will. Jesus Christ had his own will too. That's why, at the Garden of Gethsemane, he cried, if it's possible for this cup to pass over me. Nevertheless, not my will. My will is that this cup should pass over me. But thy will be done. In teaching us to pray, the same thing. He said, tell the Father, say, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Apostle Paul, recall who he was in Philippians chapter 2. Though he was in the form of God, he did not count it robbery to be called God, but he humbled himself. The fact that the fullness of the God that dwelleth in him did not make him to think himself equal and refused to subject himself to the spirit that possessed him. Amen. Hallelujah. He obeyed that spirit even to the death on the cross. Therefore, he's highly exalted. He earned it. He earned it by submission. He submitted himself. You have the Holy Ghost, and he tells you, do this, you refuse to do it. How are you another Jesus? You see? And that is what so many of us are guilty of. You had the prophecy today. You are inside the bus. He will minister to you. Stand up and speak. You will refuse. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Apostle Paul, Romans 1:16, I am not ashamed of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. For it is the power of God unto what? Salvation. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. Hallelujah. You are ashamed to stand up and preach. You are ashamed to declare your stand. You are ashamed. You know the perfect will of God. You are ashamed. You receive a message, go and give it. You are ashamed. You are ashamed. Go and pray for somebody. You are ashamed. You refuse. There is foolish humility. And I call it disobedient humility. You behave as if you are humble. In actual sense, it's not humility. It is disobedience. I just want to serve God. You know, and you are thinking that you are displaying humility. I just want to serve God. I don't want anybody to know me in bride assembly. That's, I just got to my own. And go. You don't want anybody to know you. You just want to imagine that the hand doesn't know the leg. And they are part of the same body. It is evidence you are not part of the body. Every part must be known. If you have forgotten any part, God knows how to make a part of your body know, say, I do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You neglect your kidney. Your urine will tell you, say, kidney get problem. When you see the color of urine, your urine change. At that time, you go not say, my kidney need attention. So you have forgotten any part. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Because the part that are seen, you don't know there are some parts too that are not seen, but they are known. So that humility is not humility from God. It's a disobedient humility. You are hiding under humility to see those of us that are gifted, that are known to be gifted here. We are serving as ministers, prophets, and the rest here. The same gift we have, there are people sitting down there, you have it too. Some of you even higher than us. Before a prophet see anything, you don't see him sitting down there. You go tap your neighbor. I see him. These people, then they see. I saw it. As if you are an inspector of gifts. No problem. But also know, there's a reward for it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I'm closing. Because my emphasis is that Jesus Christ is the first Emmanuel. God with us. He positioned himself for God to walk with him. Because God was in him. God is not in you to entertain you. God is in you for a purpose. We are moving to another stage. God is cleaning up his vessels. Positioning his vessels. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. God is a holy God. The spirit in you is a holy spirit. Mention it clearly. That we are the temple of God. The God we serve is a holy God. It's a holy God. And without holiness, you cannot see him. He cannot walk with you if you are not holy. What is holiness? Holiness is staying away from anything God hates. That's the meaning of holiness. Anything you know God hates, stay away from it. Blessed be the name of the Lord. God has men that he will use on earth here to judge every one of us. They were ordinary men like you and me. David was one of them. He was a man after God's own heart. Why? Once he commits any sin, he realizes it. He will do everything to let God know he is sorry. He repents. David knew so much about the grace of God upon his life. Look at the psalms that he produced. He was the best worshiper of God in the Bible. A king, for that matter. He was not a minister of the pulpit, of the temple. But I don't know any priest that has written the psalms that David has written. He knew the meaning of worship. A king knew what it is for the ark to be in their midst. The joy of it. He danced until his cloth fell down. And I always say, when people sing a song, when the spirit of the Lord is upon me, I will dance like David danced. I have not seen anybody that danced like David danced here too. A king. When he comes before God, he knows he is nothing. When you see a man that has been blessed by God and is proud, that blessing did not come from God. Any blessing that comes from God, it will produce fear, humility. You will know that I didn't earn it. That's the meaning of grace. The one that brought it may take it away again. So I want to live a life to show him I appreciate it. So it keeps you humble. David was a man after God's own heart. Hallelujah. He had the opportunity to kill his enemy Saul. But he said something. He knew that the oil of ordination was poured upon him. And he said, who is he who raised his hand against the Lord's anointed? Although he was wrong, even wanted to kill him, there's a revelation he had. When you see the oil of ordination poured on a man, on anybody at all, be careful how you handle that person. Be careful. Don't take it personal. Be careful what you say behind him. I'm telling you, that is the truth. I'm not saying, see, when I'm talking, there are people that, see, in my position, I see plenty of things. I see so many things. That's why I believe that there are serpents. Somebody sent a text to me. A lady. Jerry. Remember. Sent a text to me about a minister in this church. He said, Pastor, search very well. before you make people minister and put them in a seat. Social person is a fornicator, and he's sitting down there as a minister. So I call her number back. He ring for 3 days. He don't answer me. I texted the person, said, tell me the name of the minister now. Eventually, he called the name of the minister. I said, you call who you be? I want to know you. You know, agree. Anyway, I'm only telling you. So, I sent the text. I forwarded the text to the minister. It was then the minister laughed and called me and said, Daddy, he said, the sister won't make her marry him. I no agree. That's all. So she swore that she will remove me from bride assembly. And the evidence is still now. Maybe the sister is sitting down here not hearing me. You are a serpent seed. You don't know it. Praise God. You don't know it. No fear of God. You stand like this and lie against a servant of God. No evidence. You spread false rumors up and down. No evidence. So just you sit down and you don't like somebody. And if the grace of God is truly upon that person, be careful. Oh, David was a man after God's own heart. That was one of the reasons God loved him. If you have a holy indignation, you have no right to fight any member of the church that is involved in any act of carnality, in any sin you are aware of. You have no right to fight that person if you have not yet prayed for him. And let me tell you something. The person you pray for, you will never hate the person. The person you pray for, if that person is in your prayer list, that is the truth. You will never hate the person. The day you hear that the person is falling, it will only intensify your prayer for him. You pray for him because there is love in you. You are killing somebody. You, uncle, what did God don't do for your own? You are so clean. You don't commit anything. Now, I'm not encouraging any true minister of God. Not encouraging evil. No true minister too will misbehave who has respect for his calling. But then there is a proper way of handling it. We don't handle cases involving minister like we handle people in the market square. The reason is you are clean. You are pure. Why didn't God give you the grace? He gave that impure person. Praise the Lord. Unless you believe that the man went and acquired it, or the woman went and acquired it from an occultic place. But if you are sure, or you have any reason to believe that that gift is from God, be careful. God knows who he is. Knows who you are. And decided to choose this kind of person to give the anointing. It is for a purpose. It is for a purpose. This mystery is deep. Don't be angry with the man. Be angry with the God that gave him the gift. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. No matter what Job went through, he didn't say one single evil thing against God. No matter what Paul went through, he said, what can separate me from the love of God? Emmanuel. When God is with you, that is what it produces. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Moses is known as the meekest man on earth. Why did God give that commentary? Because everything around Moses would have made him to be a very proud one. He grew up in a palace. He was trained as a general in the Egyptian army. That is worldly achievement. Spiritually now, God talks to him mouth to ear. On earth, nobody else has God allowed to see his similitude than Moses. Despite all that, Moses was humble. That is the kind of person God can work with. That is what God saw in him and decided this is will be the deliverer of Egypt, from Egypt, of his people. And it must be your own testimony. John the Baptist was the same thing. He said, among all men born of a woman, none has been greater than John the Baptist. He said, none has been yet. Show me one miracle that John the Baptist did. So greatness is not in the amount of the anointing of miracles you have. So you now know what who is a great person. If a great man, Jesus acknowledged him as the greatest human being that has lived, did not perform one miracle recorded. So what makes you great? Go again and look at the meaning of greatness so that you can be great. And the greatest one among you shall be the servant. Is that not what he said? The evidence that you are great is that you will be a servant. You see, so the definition of great. So when you say this guy is a great man of God, do you know the meaning of greatness? Greatness is defined by your ability. Listen, your ability to stay normal despite all the opportunities that you have. All the grace is upon you. All the attention is upon you. The power, the anointing is upon you. Wealth, money upon you, nyafu nyafu. You are the most handsome man on earth. You have everything that should make you look at every other person and see yourself as superior to all of them. Yet, you humble yourself. The ability to counter the effect of these attributes around you and still humble yourself is what makes you great. Because what pulls down people are these things. It's not easy to conquer the effect of wealth. It's not easy to conquer the effect of fame, popularity. That's why in this church, there are people that were very humble when they were working in some other departments in the church. But as soon as they received the anointing, and now they begin to prophesy, especially the prophets, men and women, in this church, before my eyes, they become another thing. No more access to them. It's true. Pride all over. Now that person is a failure and he doesn't know it. Hallelujah. You have failed to conquer an effect. I am a pastor. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Of a big church, there is an effect that goes with it. And if I don't watch it, amen, I will be big for nothing before the God. Before God. People don't understand why I will be here and I will be lifting up other people. I will be telling you that they are more anointed than me. Hey, you want to go and see so person. I package them. I give them offices. I give them coordinators. I give them everything. I finish preaching. I will give them microphone. They call me. People watch us on the net and call me. Is that Pastor Moses? Say, hey, yes. I want to talk to one of those your prophets. You see? You don't want to talk to me? No, it's the prophets. You see? People don't know. I want to be great. That's why I am doing that. Hallelujah. I know the secret of greatness. Greatness does not come by praying 4 hours every day. Hallelujah. People don't know it. If I go and stay in the mountain for 1 month, I will never be great. Hallelujah. It says that we should esteem one another. better than yourself. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you lift somebody up, there is also a hand that is above you that will also lift you up. When you pull somebody down, there is also a hand on top of you that will pull you down. People don't know it. God with us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. I want you to be conscious of that meaning of Emmanuel. And never you think that it ended with the Lord Jesus Christ. No. He's still on now. Can I see Emmanuel? How many? Stand up. Let me see Emmanuel. Let me see Emmanuel. May the Lord depend on me. Loyalty is part is due. So Spirit, pray our soul. May it depend.